All right. The intervening week with no pre-work was nice. I just want to kind of start just looking back. I mean, we've gone through why in the world do we do community groups? How do community groups fit into our like ecclesiological structure as a church? That was week one. We didn't know the gospel for 2 weeks, talked primarily about how do we study scripture, live the gospel, how do we share our lives, how do we do that in a meaningful way, advance the gospel, how do we glorify Jesus wherever he's placed us, whether we've got our whole group in tow or we are there just individually, so group gathered or group scattered. And I think one thing that can be helpful, we've looked at a lot of scripture. We looked especially out of week one, just, you know, what is the church? Why are we doing this? And then how do we care for one another? We looked at Romans 12, I think two times, talking about what does it mean for us to live out the gospel together, care for one another. One thing that I think can be helpful, though, so we have all of those resources at our disposal. We have scripture that hopefully we're being shaped by. But one thing that I think can be helpful is for us to just sit for a moment and think, and feel free to like take some time to process and answer this question: why is the community of faith important to you? How has it been important to you? Like how out of your own experience, whether it was how you came to know the Lord or just your life growing up or as an adult, how has the community of faith been important to you? And how does that lead you in a specific way now? In what ways, like week to week, do you highly value the community of faith? There's a little more to it than just a simple why. But I'd like to take some time just discussing, because I think it ties into week in and week out. We've talked about this a couple times. Week in and week out, we as community group leaders will need some real resources, some serious reasons for which we try to build the community of faith that we, you know, are putting our hearts out on the table for people, that we are welcoming people into our houses, that we are trying to do life with them, etc. We need some serious reasons, I think, to be able to stick it out for the long haul and have the Lord work through us, give us rest when we need it, etc. So anyways, yeah, just wanted to discuss that for a minute. Why is the community of faith important to you?
Personally, I think it's important that we are surrounded by other believers to, one, grow in our faith, grow as people, everything like that. And I feel like just doing that alone is something that in my life I've seen I'm not able to do without other people. I mean, I don't know what, I'm sure there's a Bible verse that, you know, explains that better, but just personally, I've seen growth in faith when I'm around other believers and, you know, pushing each other in that way.
Way that's not reading the Bible of what the gospel is. So that's important to me. And I think second to that is just seeing other people that also believe, have the same set of beliefs, and how it impacts my life. Just like the same way, same principles. I think that's one thing that's challenging about COVID, was like not coming together and seeing like people worshiping together and whatnot. Because that, for me, reminds me that, hey, like other people have this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would echo that all the way. Just a reminder, I think I find myself being kind of chameleon-like and like trying to blend in wherever I am. So if like that ends up being completely a work context, it's easy to, since we don't talk about spiritual things there, just kind of fall into the spiritual things are not a thing, and just like supernaturalistic mindset. So I think having that not just be, you know, Sundays, but like people are actually connected to throughout the week. Like it's super helpful that our community group leader like is in the same industry. So like I can talk about work things and it's like makes sense, so we can help like contextualize what could this look like there. So I think, yeah, it's that that doing life as a community of faith helps me remember to that's like that is the true reality, and it's applicable in all parts of our life.
Mm-hmm. I think for us, it's just been like a source of relationships and friendships. Like we met because he was in a community group with one of my best friends, so like that. Even so far as that, but like being in this stage of life where like we're not, I don't know, like I've recently become kind of moved away from friends from college, and you're not in a place where you're just like meeting people all the time, you change jobs, you don't know anybody, and just having like a source of just friendship and friendship with people who have similar like beliefs and priorities.
I think for me, like growing up, community of faith was definitely like consistent in my life and was like a like family to me, and a place like that community of faith, like I felt very comfortable, like even more so than friends, but like a family. And so just that now too, like kind of similar, but just being that consistent group, and having deep relationships that are like familial. And then also similar but different of what you were saying, like seeing people who believe the same thing and are also worshiping and diving into the word too. But then I also like that it's such a mix of people and you get to hear how the Lord relates with people differently. And I think that's really encouraging because for me, I can get into just the pattern of doing it, like my relationship with Jesus kind of looking the same for a long time and just like getting into a pattern. And it's like, oh, this is just like checking off the list or like just, I don't know, very routine. And so when I hear from other people like how they're engaging with the Lord that might be different from me, I feel like that kind of spurs on like deepening our relationship with Jesus in a different way.
Experience the most of kind of like my spiritual walk like through community. It's like, you know, Sunday morning is great, you know, but there just is the rest of life and how you go through it, you know, whether you're mostly doing that by yourself or, you know, just like doing it, you know, when you're younger alongside close friends, you know, as you get older, you know, like trying to do that with like other families and things. So I mean, yeah, I think for me, it's like, I feel like that's where, like, just like a lot of
So I was not raised in a Christian home, and I, in middle school, super lonely kid, didn't have a lot of friends, and super awkward, not a lot of social skills, and a kid named Seth started being my friend, and he didn't just invite me to church, but he did that, and he invited me to his youth group, and I really wanted friends, and I knew some people who went there, so I went, and he kept inviting me to stuff. Eventually, like, he basically tricked me into going to a like a Discipleship Now, like, weekend thing, and that's where I met Jesus, and 8 months later, my mom asked my dad for a divorce, and I started spending a lot more time with my church family, and time at home was just tough. And when my own family was falling apart, the Lord gave me a new one. And I don't go to a community group every week thinking about that. But I do think having those sorts of really clear visions. Why in the world does God give us to each other? I think can give us a real passion for leading community group, for sticking it out when it gets hard. It's really interesting. I've been doing this training for a while. That's always my reason, because it is my reason. But recently, with Abe, so Abe was born with a genetic disorder, if you've never seen him. So he's got shorter arms than most kids. And it was really cool, you know, kind of in the process of when we found out with Abe, being able to realize, like, oh, we get to bring him into a church family where, like, and in our community group where, like, people are going to love him so well. And to be able to, like, know that people are going to love him in, like, a gospel way. It's like, oh, man, it's another reason. Like a new reason for me, which is just cool to think through that, like, God gave us each other, and it's not always easy or perfect by any means, but God's people is really a gift to one another. I think it can be helpful for us to remember that. And I'd encourage you, maybe spend some time dwelling on what are some things in the past, some things that you hope for, even out of the community of faith, and to be able to, like, turn that into why in the world are we doing community groups. This last week, like I said, it's a little bit of a junk drawer stuff. We're gonna cover a couple things we haven't gotten to yet, and if you have any kind of remaining questions, we'll have time at the end for that. First up, just want to talk about in community group differentiating leadership, raising up leaders, and then we'll move into how would you plant your own group and how would a group plant out of your group. So one thing that I think can be really, really helpful for community group leaders, so you'll remember week two, we talked about the community group leader role description, And it says, you as a community group leader are expected to champion Bible study discussion together, champion sharing our lives, champion advancing the gospel. But you do not have to do everything. And we've touched on that like here and there a little bit, but when it comes to things like social events, right, having somebody like whoever is the like party person in group, let that person plan the party. That's awesome. And it's one less thing for you to do as community group leader. It is a good thing for my group that I do not handle who's cooking that week for a group, and I don't handle planning the parties. Okay, you just tell me what to bring and I'll bring it, but I'm not good at that. So anytime we can, in thinking about what is our group doing together, what are the priorities, anything like that, anytime we can think through somebody in group who would be willing to head that up, who would be good at it, who would be able to serve the group like out of their giftings, right? That's good for you as a leader. It's one less thing for you to have to manage. But also, too, it's good for that person to be able to have a like role outside of, well, I'm just a member here. As much as you can get to, everyone in group has, a responsibility to the group, feels ownership of the group, they're willing to jump in, you know, with anything, whether it's like helping each other move, anybody can move boxes, or if you can't pick up a heavy box, bring cookies or something, you know, like everybody can help with stuff like that. The more you can get to everybody in group takes ownership, I think the better, like a healthier place you are as a group. So again, anything that you can like break off, whether that's if you do eat together, somebody scheduling people to cook and then everybody's, you know, taking a rotation or something, so everybody's chipping in. If that's we take attendance at groups each week, whoever takes attendance, that doesn't have to be you. When it comes to leading discussion, that's a great way to, if you've got somebody in group who has talked about, oh, I might want to lead a group one day, or you see like, oh, you would be a great leader even if you don't realize it, get them in the rotation for discussion. We'll talk in a minute about like how exactly to do that. Anything, hosting, doing social gatherings, anything. And like as you're in group, right, you can kind of get to know what everybody's skills is. There's a woman in my group who plans a lot of the parties, and she was an event planner before she went to stay home with her daughter. Like that was her job. So of course you should be the one planning our events. Anytime people's skills giftings is very like, you know, evident, see how that can be used to the benefit of the group. If they aren't evident, or plenty of people have a lot of skills that like you just wouldn't know. There's a guy who he went with a group that just planted out of my group recently, however he was in my group. And I knew he had a background in theater, but I didn't realize he did theater like stage design and stuff. Super handy, like really good with home improvement projects, whatnot. I didn't realize that until another guy in group had him like helping with like screening in his porch. Like, oh man, I gotta call that dude up when I'm doing house projects. So one thing that's just helpful is like asking. If you get into a season where you're like, hey, how can we, you know, serve one another? How can we use our gifts? Like ask after that, or you know, after everybody in the group, or just as you're getting to know people, when somebody's new's in group, like, hey, what do you do for fun? What are you good at? Anything like that. The more that we can, it says, inquire, the better we're able to, like, when a need comes up, like, oh, hey, I know that so-and-so knows how to do that, or et cetera. And then inviting them into it. So the vast majority of people will not say, hey, could you give me something to do? Vast majority of people will either not think of, oh, I could serve the group in that capacity, and or they won't feel like they have the space to, or they feel like it's presumptive for them to do that. So you as the leader, you have a ton of bandwidth to be able to say, like, hey, would you be willing to do this? Vast majority of the time, most people say yes, as long as like it's not like, you know, commitment every single week or a lot of hours or something like that. So invite them in. But then also, you know, respect if they're like, hey, actually, I just don't have the time to be able to lead group once a month, or, you know, whatever that is. So respecting them, you know, when they do set boundaries, do want to make sure like we're caring for people, especially if they've got a job that asks a lot of them, or they've got a bunch of kids running around, or anything like that. But I do think just that simple invite is so meaningful. There are so many people who end up leading a community group who never would have led if nobody had asked them. If nobody had invited, hey, I think you would be a good leader. Would you want to go through the training? Would you want to lead group every once in a while? Anything like that. So many leaders just don't necessarily think of themselves as leaders, which is a really good trait of a leader, actually. Anytime you have somebody who's like, hey, can I be in charge of things? Like, that's maybe a problem, you know? So when it comes to the CG leader training, I will train anyone. You have the requirements for what it means to be a community group leader. We expect community group leaders, like, they're required to be members. We expect them to fulfill the expectations of a deacon as outlined in scripture, et cetera, et cetera. However, I love training co-leaders, sub-leaders, anybody in your group who's going to be like taking, you know, some responsibility of something, because I love at least two people in group being trained. One, that's helpful, like, you know, if you need to call in sick to a group, somebody else knows how to lead discussion, they know what's going on. Or when you're leading discussion, you know you've got somebody else who knows what you're trying to do, and they know the priorities, they know why it's important that we're here, they can help. Man, it's so helpful when you're doing discussion and you've got, like, a plant in the room who's just like, we'll work with you, you know, to try to get conversation going. So I bet a lot of your groups have kind of that person who just helps keep things moving along. So anyways, all that to say, in your current groups, or, you know, as you plant, as you lead, look for somebody who you think could be a future leader, either leading a community group or just being like a sub-leader, co-leader in your group, and send them my way. Community group leader training is invite only. I mentioned that in the first email that I sent to you. Invite only. I only take recommendations off of current community group leaders, staff members, and pastors. Nobody gets into this training because they say, hey, I'd like to be in the training. Because I trust our current leaders. If you see that person week in and week out, and I've just met them, I need your input. I trust your input. So all of that to say, this sort of process where we are asking how can people serve, looking for how people can serve the body as a community group leader, is like super important to how we do community groups at Vintage. So please send people my way. Like I said, I'll train anybody. And so when it comes to training up a new leader, a lot of times it's a slow process. It's not, you're not just like, hey, would you like to be a community group leader? And they're like, yeah, send me to the training next week. A lot of times it's, let me think about that. Or, well, I've led stuff in the past, but I don't know if I have time, or, you know, whatever that might be. So a lot of times training up a new leader looks like either the sort of, you know, giving people a smaller responsibility, whether that's something like hosting or organizing something, anything like that. Starting there, or starting with, hey, would you ever want to lead discussion? I know you've led Bible studies in the past. Would you want to lead us, you know, every once in a while? Once every 6 weeks, once a month, something like that. And the way you can do it, so I've just got these training quadrants here. That is not original to me. I don't know who it's original to. I've heard it from a couple of different places. But just think of it like an arc that you're moving through. So you're going this way. So you start here where you're the leader, and it's specifically if we're talking about community group leader leading discussion, Bible studies discussion. So you're doing that as a leader, but you're trying to pull somebody into this, right? And typically it is best if you go through this series of steps and you're not like, here's where you can find the guide, I'm gonna go like get some food or something while you lead discussion. It's best if you start out with talking them through what in the world you're doing. You know, send them the guide, something like that. But the way I've done this is I'll meet with somebody before discussion that week. So we'll meet. I'll send them the guide ahead of time. Hey, would you look through this? Read through the thing. Read over the passage. And then we'll talk through what I'm going to try to do in discussion and why we're asking these questions, etc. So I'd meet with them like 30 minutes ish. Just depends on like, does this person feel really confident in being able to lead a discussion? Have they done it a bunch in the past, or have they never done anything like this and they're really going to be nervous? They're going to want to talk through stuff. So it could maybe be longer than that, and you don't have to do it immediately before group. That's just how I've done it, but you could do it the night before, earlier in the week, on Sunday or something, whatever works. So we talk, but I still do. So you get to watch. So, you know, if somebody's in my group and I'm trying to raise them up as a leader, they get to watch me flesh out what we talked through with a little more like cognition about what is going on here, why that question, and even be able to know like, oh, he's deviating from the discussion questions. That's important for them to see when it's important for us to do that. So anyways, we talk, I do, and then have a similar meeting where we talk through everything. Hey, what exactly are we going to do? And then have them lead discussion while you're in the room. And you don't have to like interrupt them or that's not the right question or whatever. You can always talk to them after the fact. It's not like, I mean, unless they spout some sort of heresy, they're not going to ruin things, you know? And it's great experience for them. Really, the hardest part about this as a leader is like keeping your mouth shut and just being a participant. Letting things go, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. And then having some sort of debrief after this is really important. And keep in mind, this isn't like 4 weeks, okay? You can do, again, based on how much experience does somebody have, you can do a couple weeks here and a couple weeks here. I like it that way. So I've done where we'll do this like 2 to 3 weeks, and then we'll do this 2 to 3 times, maybe not weeks in a row, but like if I want them to lead once a month, we'll do this, you know, once a month for 2 to 3 months, something like that. And then we don't even meet beforehand. Once they're ready to go, and it could be like you plan to do it 3 times and you only meet once. Like this is really, like this whole process is tailored to whoever we're talking about. Meet a couple times, and then don't even meet beforehand. Let them do all the planning. Let them lead discussion. But then still afterwards doing any sort of debrief, especially just to encourage them, is helpful. Being able to tweak, you know, whether or not they ask a question the same way you'd ask it, or they rushed through all the questions, and like we can handle that. But again, a lot of times people mainly just need encouragement. Hey, I appreciated when you let that person talk for forever and you did not like interrupt them or something. I appreciate that you handled that well. Any questions about just this really simple little process for getting somebody up and running with helping lead discussion? Cool. If you flip the page, just want to talk about how exactly to go about planting a group. Get an eraser. So you'll notice there are kind of two options here. The vast, vast majority of people fall in the first category of planting out of an existing group. Only every once in a while does a spontaneous plant happen and make sense, but they're both there for reference. So the first time, the first option, planting out of an existing group, we always want to start this process with prayer. We want to get down to the bottom of our reasoning. Why do we want to lead a group? Do I want to lead a group because I think, man, people could really benefit from me? That's not a great reason. If I want to plant primarily because I'm dissatisfied with my current group, or I've been a part of groups in the past that were awful, so I'm going to do it different, etc. You can imagine other scenarios. There are plenty of bad reasons for planting a group. We want to make sure that we are prayerful and we consider why do I want to plant? Am I looking primarily to serve people, primarily to build into the body, primarily to be of benefit to people rather than having people be of benefit to me, serving rather than being served. We want to make sure we're really prayerful and make sure the Lord is calling us to it. And there's an element there of, is this the right season? If you are in the army and you maybe get deployed soon, it's maybe not the right time in life. I forgot about our season conversation last week. I just said it. It's just my culture, you know? Sorry, I interrupted myself. Where was I? It is feasible that it's not the right point in your life for you to lead. However, on the flip side of that, there are plenty of people that I've talked to who are like, I just can't for blank reason. And I think you can. It just depends on what's going on. I mean, if you're currently giving birth to a child, don't be leading a community group. But I've seen leaders lead through getting engaged, getting married, having kids, losing their job, etc. So it's not necessarily any sort of like, I have a large life transition, I shouldn't be leading. Well, it just depends. It just depends. And especially when you think about, what are we doing here? Is this primarily like volunteer outreach sort of thing? Is this like taking a new job? Or is this, I'm a part of a community where I support them and they support me? When you're in major life transitions, would you rather do it on your own or do it with people backing you up, right? So in terms of leading community group, again, I do think that there are certain times in your life where it doesn't make sense, but I would just push a little bit against people who are like, oh, well, we got a new dog, so I think you could lead group. And then from praying and seeking the Lord, what are you doing in my life? Are you leading me to start a group? Bringing it up with your leaders. And I actually, I think it's helpful. It's not as if you've done months of prayer and now you're finally bringing it up to your leader. I think it's super helpful to bring your leader in on it while you're still praying. But just to say, like, you should be in conversation with your current leaders, who you are under, and be able to say, like, hey, I'm thinking and praying through whether or not the Lord's calling me to lead a group. Would you think and pray with me on that? And the person, you know, might be like, oh, you would be great at leading group. And that's perfectly fine input. However, having somebody in it with you as you are processing, seeking the Lord, I think can be helpful over an extended period of time. It doesn't have to be forever. We're not talking years here. But I do think just a little while to make sure, you know, that our reasoning is sane and sound and biblical. So then, you know, if you, in that process, if y'all are like, yeah, I think this makes a ton of sense. It makes a ton of sense for you as a person for leading, and makes a ton of sense for the life of our group, anything like that, allow something like 2 to 3 months for the planting process. There are two kinds of people in the world when it comes to planting a community group. There are the people who are like, I would like to do it one day and like 4 years go by and they never plant a group. Or there are the people who are like, I would like to plant a group. Let's do it next week. And I have literally had a call from a person who said, hey, so I'm planting a community group this week. Like, oh, can I invite you to my next training, actually? So, 2 to 3 months, something around 6 weeks, maybe a little more, just depending on what part of the year we're in, gives all of the people in your group who are very hesitant to change time to process. So it's not just so we have all our ducks in a row. It's actually, as long as you got a house and you got somebody to lead group, it's not a lot of logistics. But it's really just, if you have people who have been in group with each other for a while, that's a big change. One thing that can help is bringing your group into the conversation. It just depends kind of, you know, where you're at. So for my group, for example, we have been together for years and years. And we just planted this year, and we'd been together for 8 years. And so we had a meeting where like we just got everybody together and we knew that it was kind of like, hey, we're maybe going to plant this group because of how things were going with COVID. We had half the group meeting elsewhere. And so it wasn't a surprise to anybody, but we just got everybody together. We're like, hey, how does everybody feel? Not should we do this, should we not, because everybody knows the right Christian answer of we need more community groups, it's good for the kingdom, that sort of thing. But just being able to say, hey, I know I'm supposed to like this, but I don't actually, because I like my friends and I like seeing them on Wednesdays every week, and I'm going to be sad about not getting to see them every week. And that is okay. Like, that is a legitimate feeling. And so just having some space to process a little bit of that can be helpful, so that it's not as if like, oh, this is a split that nobody's talking about. Recently, actually, somebody visited the group that just planted out of my group. Somebody visited the group and they were asking about like, oh, they were confused as to the structure. And they were like, oh, we just planted out of another group. And the guy visiting the group was like, oh, so it was like a split. And it's just amazing to see somebody just assume drama where there's no drama. So just talking about it is helpful. Get it out in the open. Talk about why are we doing what we're doing. Talk about how everybody feels so that we can process together and honestly grieve, depending on if you know, you've been with those people for a while. If people have a lot of... they have all these stories about how people have cared for them in group, how they've been with one another through hardship, all that stuff. Like, we want to honor that. And we know that, like, those friendships don't disappear just because you've got half of people meeting on another night of the week or something like that. However, it's really easy to feel like, oh, I'm, you know, losing access to this person. I'm losing this friendship, anything like that. So we don't want to squash people's feelings, even though... You know, it's maybe like, hey, guys, nobody's dying here. We're just planting another group. We don't want to squash those feelings, though. We want to be able to air them so that they don't come back to bite us. So, again, 2 to 3 months, that gives us time to announce it to the group, be able to say, hey, you know, over the course of these 2 months, we're going to prepare for this. And then starting this day, this is when the new group is going to plant out of this existing group. And so that gives, you know, 2-3 months, get some stuff in order like a host home and figure out who's going to go and who's going to stay. In that sort of group conversation where we bring it up and maybe even say, hey, how does everybody feel? I think it's super important to like talk about the elephant in the room. Hey, guys, I know some people are going to go and some people are going to stay, and that's fine. We're not picking teams here. And I think it's really important as the existing leader to say, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you go with that group. I'm not going to assume about you that you think they are better leaders than me. I'm not going to assume that you're leaving because you're upset, anything like that. And as you say that as a leader, I think that that has to be a promise. That you as a leader saying, hey, I promise you, if you go with that group, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to miss seeing your face every week, but I get to see you on Sundays. I can call you up whenever I want. Man, go. We need people to go and plant that group, and you would be a great member of it. Go. So being able to like get rid of this idea that we're like picking teams here, super important. Sometimes I think it can be helpful to do a little bit of one-on-one follow-up. Like if you've you know, got a plant coming up and you have people who like, you don't know where people stand or whatever, man, just, you know, pull them aside on a Sunday. Like, hey, have you considered going? As opposed to saying like, hey, are you on my team or are you not? Are you sticking around? Anything like that. Like, hey, have you thought about going is a great way to launch into, it's fine if you are. And also, I want that group to thrive. So being able to have those sorts of conversations, I think, can just address things before people, you know, hide their hurt feelings or they think it's more dramatic than it is, etc. A lot of this just has to do with getting stuff out in the open, making sure we talk about it, because people just inherently don't want to, like, handle conflict. They're worried that you as a leader will feel offended, all that stuff. We have to diffuse that so that the plant goes smoothly. That makes sense. Any questions about that? Here, I'll stop there. Any questions about any of that?
I have one.
Yeah.
So I was in a group a couple, 3-4 years ago. There was like 20-30 people in it. They were pushing people to like want to start planting one just because of quantity.
Yep.
And then another planted and it's healthy and then that planted whatever. But like, what if you're in a group that's got like 6 to 8 people now and maybe doesn't like it would be disruptive to that group? Because that's really the situation I'm in. I'd love to start one and plant one for multiple reasons, but like the group I'm leaving maybe has 6 to 8 people regularly.
Yep.
And is there like a threshold of like if they have 15 or more, you should go plant and just be a part of what you got? And like also geography, like I don't know how many groups are in my area. Like maybe they don't need another one, you know?
Yep. Yep. Great question. So we always need more groups. Never going to tell you no. Even geographically, like people in the Triangle drive everywhere. It's fine. McLean's group is over in my neighborhood. There are like 3 or 4 community groups in that neighborhood, but we could have 10 and we wouldn't max it out. So that's not a problem. Your question about just density, at what point does it make sense in the life of the group, is a really good one. Because yes, I do think, I mean, if you've got 6 to 8 a week, I assume, are there more people on the roster than that?
It's McLean's group, and there's probably 12
yep.
or so on the roster, but
yep.
I mean, if I leave, I got 2 other people coming with me, because one of them is my girlfriend, and she said she's coming in.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I basically would be dismantling the group.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think that could be a situation in which you might want to wait a little bit. However, I will say, one, in the past year, we've had over 100 people go through the connections process looking for a community group. We got plenty of people who want to get in a group. A lot of times when you have a group where the majority of people are new, it can be really helpful. Everybody enters in on the same page. And so in a situation like that, what we would want is a smaller core group out of the existing group. And then, hey, people in the connections process, like, let's invite them. And we've had groups just like, bloop, plant with 10, 12 people out of the connections process who are all just looking for a group and it just made sense for them. So that's a doable thing. However, I do agree with you in terms of how big the group is, what the life of the group is like. We don't want to plant just for the sake of planting. We don't want to force every group to plant like once a year or something, anything like that. And so, yeah, which you and I can talk more offline, but just to address that question, that I think there are times when you've got too much going on in the life of the group. I know y'all are talking about like, hey, there's just a lot of stuff happening in the lives of the people who belong to our group. We're not necessarily going to plant next week. We're just aware that a lot is going on. However, we might plant sometime in the future. So we'll bring this back up. I will say sometimes when you are in a season where it doesn't make sense, whether that's out of busyness, craziness, whatever's going on, sometimes it's hard to know when you're at the end of that, you know? So just keeping it part of an ongoing discussion, I think, can help with that so that it doesn't just fall to the wayside. And you've gone a year and everything's been fine. You're like, oh, yeah, we talked about that. Did that answer your question?
It does.
Yeah. Yes, and that. But like I said, like there are times I think when your group would be too small for it to make sense for you to plant and take people with you. And so a lot of this stuff is case by case. There are some things that are universal, but yeah, you could have a group where you've got 12, 15 people in it, but if everybody's life has fallen apart, not that that's true about you, but if you had a group where everybody's life has fallen apart, I don't know why I gestured to you. Even with 12, 15 people in it, it might not make sense. Or if there are like deep divisions in group, like, hey, we don't want to plant right now. We got to heal as a group before we plant. But then also you could have a group with 8 people and it would make sense. So it just depends.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you've got less than 8 people, if you've got 7 or less
a week,
yeah, in per, like actually meeting, that's on the small side.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll keep talking. Oh yeah. No, I maxed out my example, right? I was speaking in hyperbole. I have no idea why. I was like, oh yeah. It's actually all you, Wes. It's just you're, yeah.
I'm gonna get pulled aside.
Yep.
And I'm just gonna stand.
No, you're good. No. You're fine.
I don't want to
talk. We're in the sleepy part of the afternoon. I 100% realize that. No, you're good. I do that in staff meetings all the time. So, like I said, set a start date. Giving people an actual date is helpful. A lot of people will put off the decision until last minute, so if they know when they need to make a decision by, that can be helpful. Finding a host home is really important. Even if you just need a temporary place, like, hey, it's somebody's apartment, it's not going to work long term, but we just need to go ahead and get planted. We'll start meeting here in the temporary. That's fine. And like I said, bring it up to the group for prayer. Like those 2-3 months, we should be praying together as a group, not only in terms of like, should I stay or should I go, but also, hey, Jesus, would you bless this? Would this be good for us, good for the kingdom, good for our church, etc.? So I've got a couple numbers there, just some maths. And sometimes, especially if you've got a big group, the way that planting is approached, kind of like you were just saying, David, we got a lot of people, it's like, hey, we need to plant. If we got 20 people, well, let's just like split that down the middle. We'll take 10 over here, 10 over here. Sometimes that isn't the best option, actually. A lot of times what is the best option is you've got, you know, one leader or core leading couple, and you take like 2 to 3 more people with that. So a core group of like 5 to 6, that's the core group that plants and goes through the planting discussions, which we'll talk about in just a minute, as the core team. That can work really well, because then when you've got, you know, 20 split down the middle, those two groups look very similar. The 10 that like splits off is not necessarily going to rethink very much why we're doing what we're doing, community group norms, do we eat together, do we not, et cetera, like all the logistics. They're less inclined to think through all of that for themselves. But when you've got a small group of people and you can actually discuss some of that stuff through the core team meetings, that can be really helpful to make sure that your group plants as its own self, as opposed to just a clone of the group that existed in previously. And I think that can be really helpful, not just so that we have like, you know, unique community groups, though it can be helpful for that. It's helpful because it means that you have more ownership. Because when you have a core team that's slightly smaller, I think you have people who are like, yes, I'm going to help do things in this group. I'm going to help our group get planted and thrive. And that is really helpful. So like I said, sometimes taking 5 to 6 is better than just taking half the group. And you know, you've got that start date. And then for the first 4 weeks, once you plant as a group with that core team, the first 4 weeks you go through these planting discussions, which I can hand out. And these are based on, I'm going to pass those around. These are available on the website. I just printed them out so that you could see them. I'm going to make sure Wes gets one. They are based on this training. So it's 4 weeks. We do the first week, why do we do community groups? And then know, live, advance. As you read through it, you know, you can read through it later. As you read through it, you will see stuff that we have talked about in this training. So it's intended for leaders to be able to pass along to that core team, why are we doing what we're doing? Where do we see in the scriptures the encouragement to study scripture, to share our lives together, to advance the gospel? So those first 4 weeks are just really crucial for getting your group off the ground. This is also a helpful thing for existing groups. If, you know, once a year you wanted to have either these 4 discussions, doing that once a year, that might get a little bit repetitive, but you could shorten it down to 1. I think it can be really helpful to reiterate this kind of stuff, and we'll talk about this in just a minute. So this isn't just for new groups. It can be helpful to existing groups. However, that helps you figure out some of the what's important to the life of our group. What are the rhythms that we're going to try to install for being in one another's life, etc. So you go through those discussions, and then at the end of those 4 weeks, you open as a group, and now you're open to the connections process. You've got a card up on the wall in the info room, and if somebody fills out a Connect card and they live near you and they're looking for a community group, we'll send them your way. And so that's a, you are a like full-fledged community group. So any questions about just that process from going, from considering to you're leading a group?
I have a question that might be outside of that scope slightly, but say through the connections process, someone's referred or whatever it may be to your group, to what extent, like, I'm trying to think of how to ask this politically, but like someone's just not a good fit. This sounds really bad, but some people just don't mesh with, especially if it's an existing group. Obviously relationships take time. Could you speak to like weathering that balance of like, there's probably very legitimate reasons or examples where someone's probably a better fit in another group. And how do we approach that?
Yeah. Yep. So it does. Yeah. So we do encourage, and this could be helpful. It's not in the notes, but it can maybe be helpful. When somebody fills out a Connect card, either online or in person, that gets sent to the connections team. When they're looking for a community group, is what we're talking about. The connections team will ask location and what days they are and are not available, and then they put you in contact with that person as a CG leader. In this process, they are told visit 2 to 3 groups. They're given multiple options. Sometimes if somebody's like, hey, I live in a specific area and I'm only available on Tuesdays, we don't have a ton of options. However, if somebody's like, I don't mind driving and I'm available on Wednesdays, we got a bunch of options. So we try to give them 2 to 3 options, 3 if we can, and we tell them visit multiple community groups because every group is different and we want to make sure that they find a good fit. So when people visit your group, they already know that. They already know, hey, visit around, and you'll have people visit your group and then not come back for a couple weeks. And sometimes people are a little cagey about telling you that. Like, hey, I'm going to visit another group. They don't necessarily want to tell you that, like, they're shopping around. But usually that's what happens, is somebody will visit and then they'll be visiting around. However, when somebody visits your group and they feel at home and they like you, like they like being there, if it does not feel like they fit in really well, I think then it is an excellent opportunity to learn how to love people who are very different from us. And we have had people in group before, like they're recent visitors to group. And I was like, man, y'all probably aren't gonna like us. Like, we're super nerdy and y'all are like professionals. You probably want a different group. And then in like just side conversation, they mentioned the name of their cat. And I was like, oh, is that out of this really nerdy book? And they were like, yeah. Like, you're our people. We didn't even realize. We also had a girl in group for a long time who is on the spectrum, and conversation with her was hard. So I think that there are opportunities, there are certainly times where, you know, when we talk, like, we're just missing each other. And however, again, if somebody finds a family in your group, man, it's super helpful for us to remember, just like in our own biological families, in the family of Christ, we don't get to pick, you know, who we belong to. Now, if you've got somebody who's like dominating conversation, they're a jerk, anything like that, that's a side conversation.
I think my question was more at the first part of that there, because I think we've experienced that a little bit where they just disappear, and I think that's helpful because I didn't realize that's what the process was. So, but for some people, find it helpful to kind of like, as a leader, encourage that and be like, you know, thanks for checking out our group. Like, I don't know how to navigate that, because I don't want to. There's a part of me that's like, hey, I want to check in on you and say, hey, how's it going? We'd love to have you back, but going.
Absolutely. Yep. I think it's super helpful when somebody visits, if you can just diffuse any sort of tension. Like somebody visits and, you know, when they're on their way out the door, being like, hey, thank you so much for visiting. It was really good to get to know you. Just so you know, like, I know you're probably visiting around. That's awesome. I just want you to find a place to land. Anything like that is and not only to say it, but to mean it. Like, hey, I know this isn't an interview. I don't care. Like, I like you. I care about you, but I don't care if you pick somebody else over me. I just want you to be in a place. Being able to say anything like that, I think, is helpful. And just like, I mean, we talked about people skills week two and three when we were talking about discussion. All that stuff about, like, making sure that somebody new feels valued. Like, you talk to them as a leader. You get to know them a little bit. Remember their names when you see them on Sunday. All of that stuff is just kind of implied in that sort of thing. In this process, the connections process, the connections team has follow up with every person who goes through it. And so they connect a new person to your group, they follow up with that person like 2 weeks after. They're like, hey, did you get a chance to visit? How'd it go? Do you need any other recommendations? Anything like that? So there is follow up from the connections team. However, I do think it can be helpful once you've emailed with somebody or you've texted or anything like that to do exactly what you were saying. Hey, I just want to make sure that you found a place to land. That stuff is a really great way to care for new people. Which that is not required. We have the connections process in place to make sure that people are followed up with, particularly to diffuse the awkward feeling of having to tell you no. So that stuff's in place to make sure people are cared for. However, I think it just shows that we value people. We'll do that. Good question.
On the flip side, it happened recently, but I just appreciate the thoughtfulness of people. Like, when people are like, oh, I'm going to try multiple communities, because, like, we had a friend who was like, oh, like, I want to try your community group. But then it was kind of like, I was like, oh, like, are you going to see you? And she was just honest with me of, like, trying other ones. And then the thoughtfulness of that, I was like, oh, I really appreciate that. Like, that makes sense. Like, instead of, because then I think, I don't know, it's just good, the intentionality. So just, like, first group you go to, all right, I'm locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that might not be the best.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sometimes you find a group and it clicks, and other times you visit around, and that's great. Like, that's why we recommend that.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Mhm. Any other questions about process of planting and or connections process since we're talking about that? So obviously many of y'all are thinking about planting and or like sort of pseudo in the process. This whole process is relevant to you as you consider how to plant. However, it's also helpful for you to know so that even as you plant, you can go ahead and be thinking through. Like, it's down there. You should be thinking about that now. Like, let's say you plant a group next week. We have the kind of initial core team discussion stuff. I think it's helpful just as a part of the founding of your group. Hey guys, when the time comes, we want to plant more groups. I'm gonna try to find one of you who's gonna lead the group. That sort of conversation can be really helpful, just so that we don't settle into, hey, these are our friends, we're going to be together forever, and this group is primarily about meeting my relational needs. So having that in the works at the beginning, super helpful. And also because, you know, it can take like a year, 2 years before your group is ready to plant. But if somebody has already gone through the training as kind of a sub-leader, co-leader, man, you're ready to go whenever the time makes sense for your group. So, again, just an encouragement. Go ahead and be thinking about that, even at the founding of your group. And then last topic just want to discuss here is renewal, kind of how to keep things fresh in your group, so to speak. Again, I think it can be helpful to regularly refresh your community group on why we are doing this. It's really easy for us to default to like, oh, community group is just something I do on Wednesdays, and or, man, these are my friends and I love getting together with them, and I don't know why I would ever send them away to plant another group. being able to do that once a year, maybe if you did it one night every 6 months can make sense. I think it's helpful to do it once a year. It just depends on the life of your group. Like a college group, you would expect to do that a little more frequently, beginning of the semesters or something like that. Just to be able to say, why are we doing what we're doing? And that's not necessarily doing all 4 weeks of the discussion. Just being able to have like a one night, hey, just wanted to refresh. And to use that either, you can talk about priorities, why are we doing what we're doing? But you can also use that as a time to say like, hey guys, these are the priorities for groups. We know the gospel, live the gospel, advance the gospel. What do we think we're doing really good right now? And where are you feeling like the Lord's calling us to grow? What has the Lord placed on your heart recently? That sort of thing can be really helpful. That could lead your group to say, hey, actually, yeah, it would be great to serve together somewhere. Like we just had a little bit of a conversation like that in my group where somebody from going through Abound right now was like, man, I think it would be really cool to serve with actually Refugee Hope Partners. Like, oh, it'd be really cool to get involved with that. Wouldn't that be cool to get our group in that? Like, yeah, it would. Thank you for bringing that up. So anything like that, I think, can be really helpful to make sure that we're just thinking it at least every once in a while about why are we doing what we're doing. And then, again, renewal, like some of this you can intentionally do, and sometimes it just happens in terms of meeting location, structure, leadership, meeting time, depending on the life of your group, somebody moves or people start having kids and you gotta move meeting time around, stuff like that. Again, that's not change for the sake of change, but just be willing to change the parameters. Like if your group is met on Wednesday every week for forever, it is okay if you need to move nights. Like whatever is good for the life of your group. And like I said, the Lord will probably send some change. It's going to happen. Okay. Another thing to mention there before I move past it is meeting format. It can just be helpful to change things up, whether that's like we talked about with rhythms, when, you know, once a month you do a game night or you go out to eat together or something, or you do like guys, girls, prayer, anything like that. Trying something new, giving it a shot, and it's really easy for us when we want to, depends on your temperament, when we want to do something new in group, we think, well, do I want to do that every, you know, once a month for the rest of my life? I don't know. Kind of dispense with that thinking if you can and just say, hey, we'll just give this a shot and we'll just see whether it works, if it works, and we'll do it for as long as it works. And so if that's things like, hey, Sunday afternoons, we're going to get together in the park and play games. Do that until you're like, hey, this actually, nobody's coming to this anymore, or we're all too busy, or we actually want to use that time for something else, anything like that. Feel free to just try stuff out because it can be helpful in terms of not settling into, we just do this rhythm unthinkingly. So give stuff a shot, and if you need to kill it, kill it. And then, super important, installing rhythms of rest. So I want you as community group leaders to lead out of a restful position. So I want groups to have downtime in the summer. Whether or not that means taking like extended time off from group, typically, like there are some groups for whom it makes sense. Typically, I don't recommend taking the whole summer off. And the reason, there are some churches that do that. Their community group ministry just doesn't do anything over the summer. I don't like doing that because I think that it communicates the exact opposite of what we want to communicate with community groups. What we say is like, oh, over summer, you have like your time, your vacation time or something, and community would detract from that. So please go and have your vacations and stuff. And when we get back to the fall, we'll start doing life together again. Like, actually, I want you to take your community group on vacation with you if you can. Like, I want your people to be with you over summer. Have fun together. So what I'm saying here, summer downtime, is have a more relaxed schedule. June to July, like first 1 or 2 weeks in August, man, do fun things. You can switch it up every other week. You know, have a cookout or go to a park, take the kids to the park, something. Do something fun. have a decreased like rhythm, even, hey, we only meet once every other week, or we it, you know, if you have rhythms like during the week, you know, if you normally go to service together and you meet on Wednesdays, and then there's a couple people who get together on Saturdays, you know, you could get rid of one of those things and do another at a decreased rhythm, decreased frequency, something like that. Whatever helps you over summer get a little bit of rest, but also to involve your people in your rest, if that makes sense, I think can just be super helpful. It would be a lot easier to just say, hey, we're just not going to meet for summer, but I think this is actually a lot more thoughtful. That being said, if you want to take like month of June, month of July, 6 weeks off, that's okay too. So having time off in the summer, and then once you get down into winter, taking 2 to 3 weeks off around Christmas, New Year's, it just depends on how the holidays fit. So this year, like most years, my group takes 2 weeks off, the week of Christmas and then the week of New Year's. A lot of times the week before those 2 weeks off, we have like a Christmas party or something. So it's really like 3 weeks of not having formal discussion. So that kind of gives a little bit of a season of rest there, especially because everybody's traveling, they're doing a bunch of stuff, etc. And then having things like hangouts, cookouts, game nights, depends on who you are as a leader. As a leader, I just do the same thing over and over and over. That's just what I'm inclined to. So every week on Thursdays, we just do discussion. I don't even have a passing thought of, should we do something different? Should we do like a game night or something? I don't even think about it. I'm just like, well, it's Thursday, so it's what we do. So again, if you can involve other people in it, but being able to think through like, hey, do we want to do a game night every once in a while or whatever, that also helps in terms of installing rhythms of rest. Again, vacation, and that's whether that's you as a group can go somewhere together, whether it's just like a day trip to the beach or something, I think it can be really helpful. But then also, again, depending on your temperament as a leader, you might feel like, oh, I always have to be there. These people rely on me. I'm letting them down if I don't lead discussion. One of the helpful things for having somebody like ready to go or able to fill in with discussion is you can take a week off. If you get sick, the group will be fine. So being able to take a week off, you know, here and there, depending on when you're going on vacation, also helpful. Having somebody else lead, even if you're in the room, I think can be helpful. A lot of times when leaders go through a busy season, whether that's they're getting married, having a kid, going through job transition, et cetera, having somebody just lead for a month or 6 weeks. That's what we did when Abe was born. I took 6 weeks off from leading group and Harrison Turner led for me, and it was awesome. And it was great to just be able to like show up, participate, go home. That was restful for me, and I still got to see my people. Changing it up, like prayer gatherings, anything like that. Just a quick question there. Any questions about rhythms of rest? Anything that you do in your life that is restful that you would expect to see here? Anything like that?
Mm-hmm. And we're doing like every other week is whole group, and then the opposite weeks are guys and girls night. So for each person, it's like 3 weeks of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
We have fairly low participation on the separate nights. Mm-hmm. Like girls night last month got canceled because everybody was busy. And then when we do have group, it's very rarely like everybody's there. So in a time like that, and there's some people who like the Pleasants just had a baby. There's things that are going on, but it also is just seems like there's just low commitment, low participation. So how do you recommend when that's happening? Like the opposite of like we need time, we need to rest. Of like we're being a little too restful. We need to like ramp it up a bit.
Yeah, and that's and maybe even getting off the spectrum in terms of you're either working or you're resting, because you're also talking about commitment. Whether or not people, like those people might not be resting a ton, they might be, you know, working their tails off or something, but they're not showing up for group. So it's not necessarily just one or the other. I think, man, in a situation like that, You might not need more like rest rhythms, but it might just be helpful to talk about it. Like, I think especially as a leader, man, it is really easy to start to develop some bitterness towards your people about like, hey, you know, I keep planning stuff and nobody shows up. And so being able to get it out in the open, I think it'd be helpful. Like, hey guys, you know, we've had to cancel this thing 2 months in a row. Like, if we don't need to do it, that's great. But can we just talk about, like, I would love to see y'all, anything like that. That sort of conversation can be really helpful. Gosh, I had another thought. Also, I think just like one-on-one follow-up can be really helpful. When there's somebody that you just haven't seen in group in a while, it can just be helpful to shoot them a text. Hey, how are things going? And to do like your very best to not be like, hey, I've been taking attendance and you haven't been around in a while. You know, it's not like a, hey, checking up on you, but legitimately, I want to care for you. I love you. And we haven't seen you. And I just want to make sure, like, hey, are you doing okay? And sometimes I think people, you know, out of busyness won't be at group. And then other times people won't be at group because they're disaffected. They don't see the value. They're like, oh, you know, it's just not worth me getting dressed and get out of the house. And that could be indicative of they've got a lot of other things going on. So, yeah, those are the situations where I think just conversations help. And then keeping in mind, you know, people have different abilities to commit to things, especially if we're trying to do like fun stuff together. Not everybody's going to come. But again, just like dipping into like, hey, we care for one another here. It doesn't matter if we have 100% participation or whatever. However, we just want to be in this together. I do think that these rest rhythms, as much as they are for your group, like they're especially for you as a leader, because people don't really come every week indefinitely. Like you've got some of those people, but for the most part, people feel fine just like staying home. The commitment conversation there is really important, especially for your members. Like this is, I think, helpful for you. I did get my thought back. I am very bad at following up with people. I'm very bad at like keeping track of like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. But there's a girl in my group who is really good at that. And so that was another thing that like, I was like, hey, can you just text anybody you haven't seen in a while and just be like, hey, how are you doing? That would be super helpful for me to be able to care for people. All right, just open Q&A, whether it's what we've been talking about or just anything else that we haven't addressed or has come up in between sessions. Yep, so great question. So yeah, so at the end of this training, I follow up with everybody individually. And if you have not had a conversation with your community group leaders, like most of you have from getting invited here, but if you have not, go talk to him. Be like, hey man, this is what I'm thinking about. And even maybe talk through some of the size dynamics that we were just talking through. But yeah, it's... after this training, I'll follow up with you, make sure that you've talked with your leaders, and then and just see like, hey, is the Lord, you feel like the Lord's like, you're ready to go, you're ready to jump in with leading, or you've gone through the training, you know what it means to be a leader, but you're still kind of filling it out, that's great. And then everybody, it just depends on your group, like some groups is going to make sense for y'all, like you've already basically planted, some groups like, you know, it might make sense in the near term future, some in the far term future, so like, It's pretty tailored, but I will follow up with everybody. Good question. Any other questions?
I have a question about like COVID times.
Yeah.
So I know that like a big part, or you mentioned before, like community groups should be like in a living room somewhere like comfortable and welcoming, something like that. So we were talking about this recently. we had a new couple come to our group last week, and I was getting to know her, and I was like, oh, so like, are you visiting other groups? And she's like, well, this is really like only the first group I've been to in person, because most of the ones are like virtual. She's like, it's just really hard. And I was like, oh, dang, yeah. I mean, that's true for us too. Like, we're virtual like half the time, I guess. But is there like a specific stance? Because like, to me, virtual, just there's so much Zoom fatigue that that's a little daunting.
It's different for every group. If groups need to be full virtually, they certainly can. My group did that for a long time, but Abe's got a blood disorder, so we were doing it primarily for him. There are some groups, yeah, where it makes sense. Right now, we are like just on the edge of coming out of a mask mandate. So like, we're the thresholds that City of Raleigh set, we are below them. We're just waiting on some like spread in the county to decrease to be able to take away the mask mandate and the like gatherings in person mandate. So the formal policy for groups throughout COVID has been follow the like whatever mandates are put in place by the government that God put over you. So right now we're under a mask mandate in Raleigh city limits. All groups that meet within Raleigh city limits, it is expected for them to wear masks. They can meet indoors. That is allowed under the guidelines. If they don't want to meet with masks, they meet outside. And if groups want to not abide by those restrictions, based on where we are in the pandemic, earlier in the pandemic, we did not allow this. Now we allow, hey, if a group wants to unanimously decide we are going to meet without masks indoors. We've got no vulnerable people. Nobody's got a vulnerable family member. We're going to take that sort of calculated risk and everybody's on the same page. That's fine, provided you don't have any dissenting votes, any one dissenting vote. You shouldn't do that. We should gather together in a way that does not ostracize or exclude the people who belong to our group. So we have some groups who are meeting via Zoom because they have a vulnerable family member. We have some groups that are meeting outside. My group was meeting outside until 2 weeks ago. Now we're inside without masks and we're just kind of navigating it. So it's very much case by case, group to group. However, that's kind of the overarching policy. Yeah. And like, we want groups to be able to meet in person. I agree with you. Group over Zoom is not nearly the sort of experience that group in person is. It is really a paltry like version of it. There was a time in the pandemic where it was really our only option, and so it's just what we did. All right, y'all, it is 4:30. I'll stay after if you have other questions, but we'll just go ahead and pray to close. Here, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for all these people, and pray, Father, that you would be at work as they consider planting, as they pray over what it would mean to lead a new group or to step up in leadership in their current group, to take some responsibility they don't already have, or to support their current leaders, anything like that. Father, would you just lead and guide us as we try to be obedient to what it is that you're calling us to, that we try to serve your people with the gifts you've given us. Father, thanks for all these people. Thanks, like I was saying earlier, their willingness to go through this like course material, to read stuff, to do discussion questions, all that stuff. Father, thanks for their willingness, and pray again that it would bear fruit in their lives over months and years, that as they participate in their current group, that it helps them be a like bought-in member. They know the priorities, would you use it to bless them as they prayerfully step out as leaders and help plant more groups. Jesus, we need more groups. You know that we have so many people here who are not connected with any community. So pray. You said that the harvest is plentiful. So would you send laborers out? In your name we pray. Amen. All right.